Ventura Media Group is pleased to present Dr. Pat Allen's series of audio tapes, A Lifetime of Love. Dr. Allen designed this 10-tape series to provide the listener with basic tools and skills with which to build a successful relationship. Tape 1 is an introduction to male and female energies.
Hello, this is Dr. Pat Allen. I am a marriage, family, child counselor in the state of California. I've been in this business about, well, over 20 years. I love the work of Carl Jung. I like Sigmund Freud, but the way I got my Sigmund Freud is by becoming a certified clinical transactional analyst. Eric Byrne, in the 60s, took Sigmund Freud's work and put it in simpler terms, parent-adult-child. Those circles you see, sometimes stacked on each other like snowmen. I, however, combine Eric Byrne, who combined Sigmund Freud, with Carl Jung. The idea that everyone is a complex human being and that we have to get in touch with ourselves more than we have to deal with other people. If you're not in touch with you, if you're not honest with you, you can't communicate to anyone. On this tape, I'm going to be dealing with masculine and feminine energies, Carl Jung's idea of duality. In Carl Jung's frame of reference, every man had an anima, which is his feminine side, and every woman had a masculine side called the animus. Now, what exactly is an anima quality? A feminine quality, whether it's in a man's body or a woman's, is the ability to receive, be available to receive, and to respect the other person's giving, protecting, and cherishing. The animus in a woman is that masculine energy, the ability to give, to protect, and to cherish. Mothers have it, masculine women have it, and so in today's world, everybody is both male and female. Now, where does this come from? I mean, Carl Jung's idea about duality is fine, but what does it look like in a human body? Roger Sperry and all the scientists afterwards have been talking about the brain differences between the right and the left-handed man and woman. The left lobe, we know now, is a very A, B, C, D, E lobe. The right lobe is an A, Z, A, P. It floats. It has more to do with feelings and relationships, which is a very feminine process. The left lobe wants to get the job done. Very logical. Now, right-handed men with a smaller bridge between the two lobes, called the corpus callosum, generally do better in one lobe at a time. He's in his left lobe logic, or he's in his feeling, make love, right lobe. We women and left-handed men, because we have a larger bridge between the two lobes, we mix our thoughts and feelings, and right-handed men often say, we're a little out of it. AZ is a bit of a jump. So, if you think of Carl Jung's idea of duality as not only a spiritual entity within, spiritual meaning love, an ability to love, but also a physical situation that we're studying, you will understand that everyone is both right and left lobed, both thinking and feeling. Everyone's ambisexual today. Every male body also has a soul that is feminine, called the anima. The anima is that ability in a man to receive, to be available to receive, and to respect another person's right to give, protect, and cherish him. Some men are so macho, they cannot get in touch with their feminine. On the other hand, every woman in a female body has the ability to also have a strong side of her. That ambisexuality within her is the animus. The animus is the ability to say no. I always say that the animus in a woman is either an anchor to take care of her, a shovel to take care of them, or a claw to tear people apart. outside of herself. So in today's world, we all are ambisexual if we're healthy. Because today, real health is narcissistic health. Narcissistic health is normal for single people. A basketball player cannot be narcissistic, but a golfer can. A singles tennis player can be narcissistic, but a doubles player cannot. So, narcissism is not all bad. People need to be narcissistic, especially if they're single. We need to think our way through our financial problems, and we need to enjoy our lives and know how to get in touch with those playful parts of ourselves. It is extremely abnormal to be in a relationship and be narcissistic. A man who's a macho cannot be with a true, fully evolved woman. Women's Lib has helped women get in touch with their animus at work. It's having difficulty after work that's the problem that I'm dealing with. But at work, the animus is that part of a woman that anchors her so that she is not codependent. In the old days, men and women were separated by church, by culture, by edict. Men were men and women were women. Not so. Today, everyone is a man, everyone is a woman, everyone has a brain to make a living, and everyone has a feeling heart that they have to put together if they want to be in a relationship. In a relationship in which two people with four energy systems, masculine and feminine, must come together without collision, intimacy is the goal. How do we avoid intimacy inadvertently, and how do we achieve intimacy? That is the point I want to deal with now. First of all, I'm going to say something that may inflame you. Equality works at work, but not after work. In the world today, there are no feminine energy systems at work. No one shall be treated according to their sex or their sexuality. That's becoming the law. Everyone is respectable, masculine, performance-oriented at work. And because of that, too many people take that attitude of everybody's equal at work, especially since Women's Lib, takes that idea to after work, when you're attempting to have a relationship or date, and that's where the problem comes in. Equality is good at work, but it's not good in a relationship. For a good, intimate relationship, you know how to do non-intimate relationships because you're listening and reading to these books and tapes and workbooks, and if you had a good intimacy, you wouldn't. So I'm going to teach you about how to be intimate. Number one, if you're a 10 and you want a person to be intimate with you, you'll have to deal with somebody who's a 0. 10s are perfect people. Their ideas are respectable, their feelings are cherishable, and they really don't have the ability to empathize. In the very best relationship, I want somebody to take special responsibility for being a respectable person and the other a cherishable person. I need a 5 and a 5 to make a 10 relationship. To further explain this idea of a 10 going with a 0 or 2 5s, I often say that a perfect 10 person, you know, the person who is so narcissistically evolved, whether he's on a team or she's on a team or whether they're single, that person wants their thoughts respected, no matter how stupid they are, and they want their feelings cherished, no matter how obnoxious they are. I tell those people, those narcissistic 10s, go to a local codependency meeting and wait and listen to the person who can't get it, because that person is your 0. That person has so little self-respect, self-esteem, self-love, that they need to be with a 10 person like yourself. On the other hand, if you really want to be in an equitable, sharing relationship of intimacy, the four of you, remember, there are four people in every two-person relationship. There are two respectable people and two cherishable people that are going to negotiate how to trade off equitably. And that's where you get intimacy. Do I want to be respected more or less than I want to be cherished for my feelings? That's the question. The question to ask yourself, as I just mentioned, is, do I want to be respected or cherished? Which is my priority? Now, what is this respectability and cherishability? We've talked about the brain differences. We've talked about respectability in the way of a word, but I want to go into it a little bit more right now. Respectability is a real need on the part of a human being to have their thoughts listened to, maybe not obeyed, but at least listened to, without interruption, without confrontation, without negation. That person, when they receive respect, will automatically feel cherished. Many, many young men want to be respected more than they want to be cherished. As men get older, they start valuing cherishing more. Grandpa is often more lovable and cherishable than Grandma, who says, "Get your feet off the coffee table." And Dad was a little bit tougher. Grandma, on the other hand, is really getting into her male toughness, whereas Mom was a mushy that you could con and cajole and intimidate into letting you stay up when Dad was gone, whatever. So each person at different places in their lives needs respect or cherishing more or less. Most young women feel better if they're cherished, unless they're narcissistic. Then they want both cherishing and respect. Masculinity is that giving, protecting, and cherishing that wants to be with somebody who wants to receive, be available, and respects them. Cherishing. What is this business of cherishing? Cherishing is much different than being loved. It is easy to love a baby in clean diapers. It takes real cherishing to love a baby in dirty ones. In today's world, all of us want to be respected, and that's normal. We have bills to pay and problems to solve. A woman has that strength within her now, that anchor within her, that causes her to go out and say, "I don't need a man, but I do want one." A man, on the other hand, has the sensitivity today with the men's liberation movement. He does not want to be seen only as a provider. He wants his feelings cherished as well. In today's world, the biggest issue that I see for intimacy is for women not to understand what cherishing means. To too many women, cherishing looks like subservience. It looks like doormat. It looks like you're going to be giving away your hard-found, newly emerging, liberated power. The truth of the matter is, if you can do things better for yourself than the man you're with, for heaven's sakes, cherish yourself. But if you're with a man who you respect, who gives to you, who protects you in the way that makes you feel safe and secure, then I strongly suggest that you be a cherish-able, love-able woman. What does it look like? It looks like non-confrontation. Don't be fighting him. If he says, "I'll pick you up at 7, don't say to him, "Pick me up at 7:30. That's not very respecting, and he's not going to cherish you very well for doing it. Men who want respect often have difficulty cherishing women who want the same thing. And that's one of the major issues between men and women. Today, women who want to be cherished, given to, and protected for their sensitivity are becoming very disenchanted, competing with men who are so female that they also want to be given to, protected, and cherished. It's like, I'm the girl. No, I'm the girl. No, I'm the girl. He shows up for the dinner and he's dressed like he just fell off a truck. You know how things are. He somehow forgot his plastic at home, and could you lend him a dollar or two? That is absolutely not what a cherishable woman wants. Just as a man who has planned a lovely evening does not want his design to be rebuilt by some intelligent woman that has a better restaurant, a better time, a better way, nor do women who want to be cherished want their feelings disregarded by men who want their feelings taken care of. Peter Pan is not what today's woman wants if she wants to be cherished. He is, however, the darling of the powerful woman. The powerful masculine woman loves Peter Pan, takes him home, dresses him, lends him the car, borrows and lends the money. They fit perfectly. You have to decide, do you want to be cherished or do you want to be respected? I need one of each. I need one Fred Astaire and I need one Ginger Rogers. Two Freds, slam dance. Two Gingers wallflower and stare at each other. If I've got one Fred and one Ginger, by the way, this works in a gay relationship. This works in a lesbian relationship. It works in any relationship. Each person must decide their major asset and what they're willing to equitably give to get it. If you want to be respected, expect the other person to want to be cherished. If you want to be cherished, expect that your intimate partner will probably want to be respected. And remember, Ginger does everything Fred does, backwards, in high heels, and in a long dress. So a lot of today's women are not too comfortable being cherished and feminine. And a lot of men are getting very comfortable being Ginger. Make your choice. All right, now we're going to make our chosen commitment. For all of you out there, whether you're driving in a car, for heaven's sakes, don't take both hands off. I only need one finger, actually. I want you to take a pledge. But before you take the pledge, I want you to decide right now, do you rather have your thoughts respected by your intimate partner, whether it's a man or a woman, whether it's a straight relationship or gay or lesbian? Would you rather have your thoughts respected or your feelings cherished? Or the reverse, would you rather have your feelings cherished or your thoughts respected? For those of you who have chosen the feminine, the anima in a woman, or the receptive, available, and respect the giver person, here's what your pledge is. I promise, on my honor, to respect the male person I'm with, that I have chosen to follow, even when I know I'm smarter and I know I could do it better. So help me God, please. Now, for those of you who wish to have your thoughts respected more than you want your feelings cherished, I have a pledge for you. Now, don't take both hands off. I only need one. Put the phone down. Let's get with it. Put your hand up, or at least one finger. I promise, on my honor, to cherish the feminine person I'm with, whether it's a man or a woman, even when they're illogical, irrational, and often irritating. So help me God, please You may recall a little earlier I was talking about Grandpa wants to be cherished, whereas Dad wants to be respected, and Grandma wants to be respected while Mom wants to be cherished. I want to talk now about how age causes a change in energy. If you realize that we are all hormonal creatures, we women run, when we're young especially, on a hormone called estrogen. I call it the roller coaster of hormones. I absolutely know that God has to be a comedian to create estrogen. Women have it when they're young, but men have it. It starts to impact a man when he's older. Interestingly enough, the opposite happens for a woman. When we're younger and on estrogen, we then go into a progesterone system that causes us to become and be more comfortable with being respectable. Nature inadvertently sets reality up so that there are old women to drive their son-in-laws crazy, raising kids who their wives are just dingy over. So nature is a very clever comedian in that older women and younger men, both wanting respect, often come together and do great business. They often marry to do business. If you've seen a relationship between an older woman, in today's plastic surgery world, old women aren't old women anymore. So for those relationships in which both people take a lot of comfort in making the world move and shake, she may have the experience and the money and the backing to set this wonderful young stud up in his business, and they go about their life. The problem, as we know, is as her clock is ticking, she's really not very able, although geriatric fertility is becoming the rage. She's not as able to reproduce for him. But if he's not that interested in reproducing, they often form a very tough, powerful relationship. On the other hand, why do older men go with younger women? Because they're both cherishable. You see, as a man and a woman grow older and we switch from one side to the other, he used to be him and she used to be her, but now he is now melting into her and she is now power building into him. That's nature switching us hormonally. The bridge changes. And with that, very often, the wife who ages with her husband does not realize that she still has to pretend that he's king of the hill. You know, I often say, remember how Grandma talks about Grandpa? She goes, you know him. To respect him when he was a young stud. And because she takes care of his feelings when he gets older, he stays alive. Older men don't flourish in a hostile environment. They need to be cherished like flowers, just as young women don't flourish in a hostile environment. They need to be cherished as well. So very often, disrespectful women drive their husbands, as they age, into the arms of a young woman who goes, oh, you big, strong man, you're just what I need. Now, as she gets older, she'll also become masculine, but he's going to have a lot of fun between here and there. So age does cause an energy change. Old men need to be with old women who remember that they're still men, even when it's not really true. And older men need to remember that their wives who worked with them and built with them and bore the babies with them, even though she's not Miss Hardbody, if she's still a respecting woman, take heed, that young woman may be more than you can handle.
This is the end of take one. Fast forward to the end of the tape and turn it over for take two, Sex and Commitment.